At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Saving starts with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider.
What's going on? Welcome into the Pelicans podcast presented by SeatGeek. I'm Daniel Salerson. We are back for the second half of the season as the Pelicans welcome in the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight at 7 p.m. Joining me today are the fellows that will have the call on the radio broadcast tonight, ESPN New Orleans 100.3 FM. That's Todd Graffinini and John the Shazer. And the reason why I'm having them on today is because today is a very important day, not only in the sports world, but for all of us personally. It's a one-year anniversary of the NBA season getting shut down after the first positive coronavirus in the NBA, which happened to be from Rudy Gobert of the Utah Jazz. And of course, that was a crazy night for all of us from a broadcasting perspective, for Todd and JD personally being there in Sacramento. So we really kind of just wanted to reflect on what a year it's been for all of us and for everyone around the country and around the world. And guys, first of all, happy second half of the season to you. I know it's going to be a grind, but I'll start with Todd and I'll go to JD. First, just take me back just from a bird's eye view of March 11th last year, and kind of how things developed for you in your mind when you started to realize that not only were you probably not going to play a game that night, but we might not be back in the building for quite some time.
Well, Daniel, first of all, thanks for having me, and it's great to see you, and I'll see you later, obviously, of course, JD, but after getting the batteries recharged, so to speak. What a strange day. And of course, it started on the road trip itself. You know, we were out west after that Sunday game in Minneapolis, so we had a couple days off in Sacramento. Well, the thing about that day, which I want to say it was a Wednesday, you know, it was, we had not really talked about the season even being postponed. I think the first thing we had kind of heard up until that point was possibly fans not being in buildings the rest of the year, which was obviously going to be a big step, but nothing like, well, there's a possibility that the season's going to be suspended. Then you throw on top of that, the Pelicans were kind of getting themselves back into the playoff picture. And that game against Sacramento was going to be a very important game. So we were talking on the broadcast side of things, how important the game was and just the importance of it. And then all of a sudden, you know, you get your notice on the phone that Rudy Gobert has tested positive and the season's going to be suspended, but the Pelicans-Sacramento game is still going to be on. I mean, it happened so quickly. I was doing a guest appearance on the local affiliate in Sacramento that was broadcasting the game, that their flagship. And I mean, it happened like that, like literally the snap of a finger. And I'm getting texts and the host, I'm looking at my phone and the host is going, I think you need to go. I said, yes, I need to go because we need to figure things out here. But that's literally how quickly it happened. And it's just, I've used the word so many times, surreal. And I know we're going to get into it a little bit later as we were getting on the air, but it just happened so fast. You can't even put into words how quickly just you went from having a season to absolutely nothing in the span of about 25 minutes real time.
What about you, JD?
Yeah, it was actually we were in the arena is what I remember most. And the thing that stood out was guys who generally get up their shots pregame, you didn't see that. So that was the first sign. And that it was, you know, it was almost like a ghost town. And so I'm doing a radio spot with Doug Christie. And I remember we get the news that literally Oklahoma City has been pulled off the court. They're getting ready to tip and they've been pulled off the court and they're playing against Utah. And then you get the news that Rudy Gobert has tested positive for coronavirus. And so then I remember, I think we were off air, but I remember telling Doug Christie first, I said, we're not going to play. And he said, huh? I said, I don't think we're going to play. I said, look at the court. And so then, you know, we finished up the radio spot and you notice the Pelican guys want to go out and work out, but they're not out there shooting around. I think one last lonely guy ends up getting up some shots. I can't remember exactly who. And I can't remember if it was Graf I spoke to or if it was Antonio Daniels from Fox Sports New Orleans. But I remember telling them, we're about to go home. And that was my exact words. We're about to go home. And so, and I remember specifically Antonio saying, well, no, you know, we go to L.A. after Utah. And I said, no. We're not going to Utah because Rudy Gobert has tested positive. And I said, this isn't 6 degrees of separation. This is the NBA where there's 30 teams. There's like 2 degrees of separation. You know, who did Utah play and who did that team play and who did that team play? So we're right in the midst of this. I said, now, you know, we're going to go home, probably sort it out then. Little did I know we were going home for a year, but I knew we were going home at that exact moment. And so from the rest of it, it got a little bit scary because, I mean, you know, we still don't know all of the effects of the virus on each and every individual. And so you don't know who's affected. You don't know how widespread it is. I just knew we were going home. I remember calling my wife and she was like, what are you doing? You're at the game. I was like, baby, we're getting ready to come home. And that was what I just kept saying to everybody. We're going home. I just didn't realize it was going to be like this.
And Daniel, if I interrupt, the reason why our game was stopped is because Courtney Kirkland, who was one of the officials that night for the Pelican Sacramento game, was in Utah two nights before refereeing the Utah Jazz game. And that's why we never ultimately came out. And I still to this day think, wow, I mean, we had the presence of mind to realize this was the case, because my moment, JD, was we were actually doing our pregame. And the clock, which we always look at to kind of judge when we're taking breaks and what Daniel's doing back in the studio, the clock said 7 minutes and there was nobody on the court, the Pelicans. And that's when we looked at each other and said, this is not happening. This is not happening. And then Alvin Gentry came out of the tunnel, looked up in the stands. I said, we might as well shut it down right now. But Courtney Kirkland is really the ultimate reason why we didn't play, because he was in Utah a couple nights before. And again, you look back on things now and there was so much unknown. We had no idea how you could get it and how it would spread, just in the infancy of it. But it's, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. It's crazy.
JD talks about the 2 degrees of separation. I mean, that's where it was right there. And exactly. Again, everything is connected. And you saw a couple more Jazz players, Donovan Mitchell ended up getting it. You know, that's where it really started to, I guess, kind of sink in. But personally for you guys, because obviously we knew when the game was suspended, you know, the season was suspended and they said the Pelicans and Kings will play on, which for me, I was like, there's no way that they're going to do this. And then finally came to the senses of we're not playing. But personally, what you all had to go through to not only cancel the game, we all were flying from Sacramento all the way home. But you also were able a chance to gather with the team and have a meal. But from a safety standpoint, like you mentioned, we really didn't know the effects or what was going on. There was no mask wearing. You all were flying on the plane home. Were you all concerned safety wise that, you know, when this happened that, you know, you guys were kind of vulnerable at the time? JD, I'll start with you. Did you feel like personally, as from a safety point, that what's going on here? Am I in danger right now just being in the building or being on a plane or being in a restaurant?
I think it was the infancy, and it was one of those situations where you don't even know what you don't know. So you don't know enough to be afraid, because in hindsight, there's no way in the world we should have been having dinner together.
No.
There's no way in the world we should have all been, you know, on the charter flight. Great flight. But there's no way in the world we should have all been on there together with no mask and no protection against one another. We just didn't know enough to know what we didn't know. And so we just figured, okay, we're good. Let's go eat. Let's go home. And we had no idea the magnitude of what this is. And I guess from that standpoint, you know, ignorance is bliss, because we were all just having a nice dinner and a nice meal, and thinking we go home and we'd be playing again in, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 days or something like that.
Daniel, that's why JD's a writer and I'm not. I could not have said it better myself. I mean, you think about it. We ate dinner as a team, as a group, no mask. Nobody even talked about it. Nobody even talked about it. We all get on the plane. We fly home. We flew home all night. I mean, as sure as I'm sitting here, I did not think once, not one time, that I should not be on this plane with not one time did I think about that. So JD's right. Ignorance truly was bliss. And the thing about it is, you know, we all go into the building, into the facility on Friday the 13th. The team meets with the doctor. We meet with the doctor, and little did we know we have not been back in the facility since 363 days. Yeah. It's been since we've been back in there. But no, not even a thought or a hint, Daniel, that we should not be eating together or getting on the plane and flying back home together. Yeah. Because we think about the traveling party that was with the Jazz that were in Oklahoma City. They had to stay in Oklahoma City. They were not allowed to fly commercially. They were not allowed. So they were trying to figure out how they were going to get back from Oklahoma City to Salt Lake City. And I tell you what, I would not want to have been on that ride, because who knows how long that would have been.
Which is crazy to think about. I remember leaving the arena that night after the game was canceled. It was Caroline Gonzalez and Joe Cardosi, who are part of our crew. And I was like, because of course no one knew. I was like, okay, the NBA season will be suspended for a couple weeks. They'll get everything together. They'll figure things out, and then we'll be back. It'll be fine. And lo and behold, season shut down. We played the NBA bubble in late July, early August. And then to start this season and continue the season, there are plenty of COVID protocols, as we hope we're seeing the end of this soon. But just going back to, I guess, this whole year and working from home. And, you know, I remember at the beginning of this, you know, Todd was doing play-by-play of dogs, you know, chasing toys around or something for Pelicans.com. You know, we're doing podcasts, we're doing shows. Did you think 1 year from now, this is where we'd be? I mean, we're still doing Zoom interviews still for podcasts. Like, we'll see each other tonight, but for the longest time, this was our interaction, and still for a lot of people to this day. Todd, I'll start with you. I mean, just looking back this last year, did you ever think it was going to get to this point where we are right now, based on how things went down a year ago tonight?
Not this long, not a year. And maybe again, I was being naive. I thought that they would have a vaccination out. Now, again, I know it took a lot of work even to get a vaccine out as quickly as they did. But I really thought that it was going to be, you know, sometime in the fall that basically things would start getting back to normal. I did not think there would be a full year. And again, we're still not back to normal, even though we're kind of trending in the right direction as the vaccinations continue to get rolled out. But no, I absolutely didn't think it would be this long. We're still sitting here talking on Zoom. But I will say this, it has been great to get back in the arena, at least during home games, be able to watch them on the court, not on a monitor, and just get the camaraderie back. You know, still not traveling, you miss that, not being around, you know, everyone on a day-to-day basis, and not being in the facility on a day-to-day basis. But at least the interaction with us as a group, as the broadcast team, has been so, so good, because during the summer, man, it stunk. I mean, it really did, just not being around everybody. That's, you know, that's one of the perks of this job, is not only you get to call games and be a part of this organization, but just being around your comrades and your colleagues. That's, you know, that's what you really miss as the summer went on.
And JD, real quick, you covered both teams, so you've already had to go through this with the Saints, still being able to travel. Well, obviously those things were a lot different this year, covering the Saints and then doing both teams. I mean, how has this year been like for you as a writer, as a broadcaster, just going through all this, with all the uncertainties of what this pandemic has brought?
Well, that's the main thing, is, you know, the new norm is being uncertain about everything. Now, you know, Graf mentioned, you know, I got the writing background. So, and part of being a writer is, you know, you don't trust anybody almost. You don't trust anything. And so, you know, I always take things from, you know, the highest extreme to the lowest extreme. So I wondered if the NBA was going to be able to complete a season. I wondered the wisdom of the NFL even starting a season. And I certainly didn't know that they'd be able to pull it off in the time frame. And, you know, now once the NFL started up, and then I figured, okay, the NBA will be able to get back. And I don't know how normal, quote, it'll be, but, you know, they'll be able to get back. But it's been a really isolated place. Even though we've not now got a few fans back in the arena, but as Brad mentioned, just not being in the office, not being able to interact with people generally. I mean, now you know, if you go to the store, even now, you're pretty much sprinting back home and kind of getting off to your safe spot, so to speak. So, you know, those things are the things that you miss the most, just being able to shake hands, just being able to be face to face and walk out of your office. You know, I've been able to work from the facility a little bit, but even now, you walk out of the office, walk to somebody else's office, you make sure you got your mask on. You're probably staying, you know, 8-10 feet away from them. And so that kind of personal interaction is the thing that you miss the most throughout this whole thing.
It's been 1 year. I've been dying to give Todd a hug, and I still haven't been able to give him one for the last year. So I'm just counting down the days till we're both able to do that again. One more question about the broadcast, and then we'll kind of trickle into the Pelicans as we wrap things up here for the second half of the season. But, you know, we were all trying to have a conversation before we went on. Obviously, I started my pregame show. Todd called me before the pregame show happened and goes, Thunder and Jazz are canceled. Like, there's no way we're having a game. And I'm like, Todd, we don't know that yet. I was like, the NBA suspended the season but said our game was going to go on. But as you know, even as I went on, you know, the whole tone of our broadcast changed from it's the Pelicans and Kings tonight to what the hell is going on here for the next 40 minutes. When you two had to go on air as we approached tip off, knowing that there wasn't going to be a game, how did you, I guess, go through your mind trying to explain to the listeners? One, it was a West Coast game too, so not a lot of people really knew what was maybe going on here in New Orleans, but how were you able to try to balance the fact that this could be a very scary situation, what's going down, but also, as we mentioned, not knowing a lot. How were you able to try to balance how to tell the listeners what was going on in Sacramento, what was about to happen, and not knowing when's the next time you're going to be able to talk to those listeners again? Todd, I'll start with you, and then I'll end with JD on that.
I did the simple thing. I just deferred to JD. I mean, I'm not going to explain it any better than he can, because quite frankly, I didn't know. I mean, you know, what do you say? I mean, we're all of a sudden, you know, we're about to play, and then all of a sudden we're not playing. So again, as we've talked about, it was such in an infant stage. You just really didn't know. I'm not trying to cop out of the answer, Daniel. I'm just, we just didn't know. And that's again, why you leave it to the professional writer who can explain things much better than me.
Well, let's leave it to JD then. What were you trying to do, JD? We said, all right, mics are hot. Talk about what's going on.
Well, I mean, you know, you try to just explain it the best you can, you know, and you try not to be panicky about it, because you don't know, you know, the whole situation. And so you can basically explain what you do know. You can't jump to any assumptions, because jumping to assumptions in that situation was just not wise. I mean, we didn't know anything. I mean, we weren't educated enough to make a guess and say, you know what, this could ripple out and this could be a month from now, this could ripple out and this could be 2 months from now. We just didn't know enough to be able to really be able to educate people on anything. So all we could say was, look, this game's canceled, folks. And that's all we know for right now. The NBA is suspended, and that's all we know for right now. And we just had to go with that. You know, obviously there's a fear that goes along with that, because when a league shuts down, you know that that's something serious going on, but you don't necessarily want to project that all the way out because you don't know all the particulars. You know, the league didn't know what the hell was going on. So nobody knew enough to be able to really get into it and say, this is what's going to happen. This is how it's going to happen. You know, we were all just kind of flying without a net and just hoping that we could be, succinct about it and not panicky about it, in my mind.
You know, what's crazy to think about, we could do this for a whole day, but obviously it's a game day, so we're going to wrap things up here in just a few moments. But, you know, when the NBA shut the season down, the trickle-down effect for all the other professional sports leagues, and not only just professional sports, but schools and work and everything, and kind of hit that, oh, crap button, you know, as soon as Rudy Gobert tested positive, how that really changed things around this country and dynamic. And also, I think we have to give props to the NBA of how they've been able to handle not only the bubble with no positive tests. This season has certainly been a challenge with dealing with players testing positive, staff members testing positive. But the fact that we're already halfway through and looking like we will be able to finish out a season, knock on wood here, it will be tough, 36 games in 67 days. But again, I think everyone is certainly glad that there is basketball. And even, you know, March Madness is upon us too. I mean, that got shut down. The whole tournament got shut down a couple of weeks after, and you know, everyone's approaching conference tournament time. So it will be nice to see that all those things a year later are back in its original form. Before I let you guys go, and I'll start with JD and along with Todd, Pelicans are 15-21 heading into tonight's ball game against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Looking at the schedule, looking at the Western Conference, it's going to be pretty tough for this team to get a playing spot, to work into the playoff spot. JD, one, how important are these two games, Minnesota and Cleveland, first two games off the bat, you know, two very winnable games to set the tone for the second half, but also what do you want to see from this team in the second half to show the growth that you want to see from such a young team?
Well, these first two, I think are, I hate to say critical, but they need them. They need them. You're playing against teams that are inferior and you need to beat these teams. I'd like to see this team just find some consistency, find some things that you do well and do those things each and every night. And unfortunately the consistency has been so wild, you know, from beating a Milwaukee to losing to a Minnesota, that we just don't know exactly what we're going to get out of this team. We don't know if Brandon Ingram's going to give you 35 or if he's going to give you 21 and he shoots, you know, inefficiently. Those are the things that need to be smoothed out. They need to know exactly what they're going to get from guys each and every night. Otherwise, you're going to continue to have these big, huge, wild swings where they're capable of beating a really good team like Utah and not capable of taking care of business, you know, two nights later against a team that they should be able to take care of. Those are the things that got to be – it has to drive them crazy. If you're a professional and you got pride, you're saying, you know what? We need to know what we're going to be able to get out of each and every guy every night. And if you don't know that, then you can't plan on anything. It's hard to just say, we know we're going to get 25 out of this guy. We know we're going to get 15 out of this guy. When sometimes that guy might give you 18 and the other guy might give you 8. So you need to be able to know what you're going to get out of guys. And not just on offense, defensively. I know Stan Van Gundy wants this team to play better defense. Today's NBA, the rules just won't let you just stop people. They just won't. So you got to be consistent about the things that you do well defensively and hopefully carry those through the second half of this season.
What about you, Todd?
Yeah, Daniel, I guess the frustrating thing about the first half was the fact that you know that the Pelicans have potential each and every night to compete with anybody who's on the schedule. And you just don't see, as JD mentioned, the consistency on a night in and night out basis. Is that because it's a young team? I think a lot of it has to do with that being a young team, and Coach Van Gundy talked about it when he addressed the media after the afternoon practice yesterday. You know, this is the fifth youngest team in the NBA. And I think we forget about that a lot. So they're still trying to figure it out. But again, we see the potential of the team when you beat a Milwaukee, you know, when you come back against the Boston Celtics down 24. So the potential is there. Can you get it on a night in and night out basis? And I think as far, you know, as the second half and try to get into the playoff picture, I don't think you can worry about that right now. You know, the only way you're really going to be able to get back into this thing is if you go on a long winning streak. I mean, that's really the thing about it is everyone's so bunched up. If you win 3, 4, 5, 6 games in a row, you get yourself right back into it. But the Pelicans have not proven to anybody that they can go on a streak like that. We had that 4-game winning streak, you know, during the first half, but obviously that ended when we went to Chicago and Dallas and they wound up hitting 53s in 2 games. So, you know, it's just, you got to start tonight and hopefully you get a positive result. And then you worry about tomorrow night and the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's got to be on a night to night basis. You can't think ahead. You've got to get consistent every single night. If they do, you got a chance.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with, I talk about looking ahead, Minnesota and Cleveland, but after that, it's the Clippers, Portland twice, Denver twice, Lakers, Dallas, and Boston all in a 2-week span. So the importance of these two games is
very
critical.
Well, here's the other thing too, Daniel. Again, just doing prep for the game tonight. You know, I'm looking at the numbers the first time we played this team, Minnesota, which obviously was the end of that horrific 2-week road trip. But what's to say that Minnesota's on the other side got this one circled, saying, wow, we got a shot to win tonight. If you look at who set season highs down their roster, a lot of them were that night against the Pelicans.
Naz Reid,
Jared Vanderbilt. So again, they, you know, Minnesota's going, well, you know, we got 7 wins, but one of those wins is against a team we're playing tonight. So, you know, you're going to get a good shot from Minnesota because they've been successful against the Pelicans. What a strange first half it was.
And the thing about that I want to add in, Minnesota outworked the Pelicans that game. Outworked them, out-hustled them, outworked them. And you don't want to see that from a young team that should be hungry. And that's one of those consistency things that we're talking about, because we've seen some games where the Pelicans have just flat out outworked some teams, but you can't be the team on the other side of that. You can't get outworked.
Wow. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that was the end of the long road trip, but still, you know, that was one of those games that you needed to have to kind of salvage as much of the road trip as you can. So yeah, hopefully this Pelicans team can, you know, take advantage of being at home for the first 3 games. I mean, they haven't traveled in a few weeks based on the All-Star break, a 3-game homestand. So they won't travel until Monday as they head to Portland. But more importantly, you all can listen to Todd and JD tonight on the ESPN New Orleans, the Pelicans Radio Network. Don't forget the Pelicans app is your friend here in the New Orleans area as well. A great chance to listen to these two. Always enjoy having them on. Always enjoy listening to them. And guys, buckle up. Here we go. 36 games, 67 days. Stan mentioned it yesterday. They're only scheduled to have 11 practices the rest of the season, which is crazy to think about. But I really appreciate the time this morning reflecting on what a year it's been. And I'll see you all in person tonight.
It is a sprint, not a marathon, Daniel.
Looking forward to it.
All right. Pelicans and Timberwolves tonight from the Smoothie King Center, 7 p.m. Central Time. Again, ESPN New Orleans is your place to be on the radio. 6:30, we'll have pregame for you. And, of course, you can watch it on Fox Sports New Orleans as well. For Todd and JD, thanks for listening to the Pelicans podcast presented by SeatGeek.